with the Vet College and on the faculty over there has been around. Have you been in charge of spreading disease over here in the tent? You have been, haven't you?
I've been spreading Buckeye fever.
You need to put that up. Almost eat it. I know that makes you health people all upset, but unfortunately, that's kind of the way the microphones work. You've been spreading Buckeye fever for a couple of years over there, from what I understand. And this year said, hey, you're here. We're going to talk a little bit about, because disease outbreaks are something that obviously in the livestock game or, you know, even the non-livestock critter game we're concerned about. But as we talked earlier with the other folks, the jump from critters to people is another thing that people get concerned about. I guess, you know, one of the things that I'd like to start with, Rebecca, is when does it become an outbreak?
So, yeah, like, what is an outbreak?
What is an outbreak? Or my pig's got a bug, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can have an animal that's sick, and it's not really an outbreak, but the official definition is more than the expected number of cases. So if you have something that just kind of goes through your animals all the time, that's not an outbreak. But if it's something that's never been seen in our country, in our state, in your animals, that's an outbreak, even if there's one case. And then sometimes if it's sort of something that cooks at a low level all the time,
right,
when it starts spiking, you start seeing more cases than usual, that's an outbreak too. So some of them aren't as important. You don't hear as much about them, but some of them are really important outbreaks, even if you have one case, like mad cow.
Okay. I guess one mad cow would make for an outbreak, or at least a lot of extreme news stories, if nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to bother asking who decides if it's an outbreak, because it really doesn't matter.
It may just be the press that decides if they want to call it an outbreak, but there are requirements for different organizations.
So how do we keep a handle on this? I mean, obviously, you know, if particularly those things that are cooking along at a low level,
mm-hmm,
and we get the spike that says, hey, I need to really pay attention to this one either as a vet or as an industry on livestock side, you know, obviously as a producer, I'm keeping track of what's going on in my, you know, hen house, hog house, whatever.
Yeah.
But what am I particularly watching for, and how do I go about that to make sure my surveillance is really good?
Right, yeah. So the first line of surveillance is the person who's there with the animals every day. So if you see something that's unusual, sort of the next step is to contact the next level in the chain. So you'd contact your veterinarian, who can come and say, you know, is that really something other than what would be expected? Is it just that you've never seen it before, but all your neighbors have seen it every year for the past 20 years? So the veterinarian can really kind of step in and help determine if that's a really serious change. But you know yourself that you're seeing something that's unusual, and that's, you bring that to the attention of the veterinarian. And if the veterinarian says, yeah, this is really unusual, it's something I've never seen, they can take diagnostic samples to go and test to see if maybe there's been a change. You know, if you have a flu and it's never been pathogenic before, never killed birds, but now it starts killing birds, they're going to want to do some tests to see what particular type of pathogen that is. And then you can kind of go up the level. So you have the State Department of Agriculture might get involved, the USDA might get involved,
so
depending how serious it is.
Yeah, we step up from, okay, yeah, we need to do a little isolation here and do some treatment and observation to, oops, now you're quarantined.
Yep.
And then as we talked a little bit with Mo earlier, and we're going to talk more with him about it later on the bird side, we go from that to not only are you quarantined, but your birds are going bye-bye.
Yeah.
If we're talking birds in this case, yeah. Depopulation is kind of the extreme.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're all different things, and every type of disease has different tools that you can use to fight it. So it may just be that it's a problem on your farm and you need to do a change in management, you need to do some treatment. A lot of times, so the tools that you have, you can isolate individual animals, you can isolate whole farms, you can treat them, you can vaccinate if they haven't already gotten that disease, depending what disease it is and if there's a vaccination. And it does kind of go all the way through the spectrum up to culling a whole farm, a whole area.
You know, I'm amazed, and maybe not quite as close to it as I used to be, but I'm amazed at the number of producers that don't necessarily take the basic steps. I mean, I can remember, and even to this day, a new hog doesn't come on the place, even if it's the most expensive piece of breeding stock you might find. It doesn't come on the place until it sits in quarantine for X number of days, mm-hmm. and we run the proper tests and that type of thing with whatever critter. So, you know, it really does start even ahead of an event with a plan on how you maintain the health security of your livestock operation.
Right, yeah. So every operation should have some sort of measures in effect to prevent diseases, because you never know what the next disease is that's going to come
right.
along. So generally, yeah, don't bring in new animals without quarantining them. Vaccinate for things that you have available. Do some biosecurity, so don't wear your dirty boots when you go to your neighbor's house, that kind of stuff. And that's all just general biosecurity practices that'll help to keep anything
right.
out, no matter what it is.
Let me ask you if there are any particular outbreak concerns that we're dealing with right now. That, I mean, obviously we've had to talk about the flu, particularly
yeah.
with birds. Other things that we're particularly concerned about here in the Eastern Corn Belt?
There's not a ton that's going on right now other than flu. Everybody's getting ready for the next flu season to start. But we still have in the swine the PEDV that's going around. And there have been some changes in import regulations. So the disease that I work with mostly is the foreign animal disease, foot and mouth disease, that's
okay.
not in the U.S. And there have been some small changes in trade that would increase our chance of getting that just by a little bit. So we're sort of keeping an eye a little more for that kind of thing. But
yeah.
that's certainly not a high risk right now.
Foot and mouth disease, let's just leave that to our politicians. You keep it out of our livestock, okay?
Yeah, so we're hoping that Customs and Border Protection is going to keep that out.
I tell you what, Rebecca, let's see if we happen to have some questions from some people. So, I see we've got, I guess in our game we talk about having a herd out here. Or
yeah.
is it a flock? Is it a flock of FFA students or is it a herd? I'm not quite sure. We seem to have attracted the student population, so I'm hoping that a couple of them actually have on their, you notice when you've
their
been doing this while you
there.
See the little sheets?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got homework to do while they're here.
All right.
I'm hoping that means they have a question.
Yeah. Something, anything about infectious diseases.
Oh, that one back there says, my question is, what did you say?
All right. So I'm here to talk about infectious diseases and infectious disease control. So,
if you'd like one, she'll be glad to give you one, right?
Yeah. Be glad to give you buckeye fever if you want to experience an infectious disease that's pretty pretty innocuous.
I don't know if it's innocuous.
No. Well,
you've seen what happens on Saturdays
yes.
on campus. So any other questions for Rebecca? You guys haven't thought of one fast enough? Come on. Oh, okay. Let me think here. We're gonna drag Mo up here after a while, or if Mike happens to make his appearance.
Yeah. Yet. Question.
Question. Okay, now you need to walk up to the microphone. Wait for it. Here we go.
What is the most common disease that you see in cows?
Ooh.
The most common disease you see in cows, we'll say this year.
So,
of course,
all right. So most of the cows that I see, because I do research mostly, are in Africa.
Well, that's even
so
better.
So African cattle, the most common diseases that I see are mange and parasites. So like intestinal parasites. Those, neither of them are terribly common in the U.S.
Well, we've been controlling those for quite
yeah.
a long time. I mean, I don't know if anybody treats for mange hardly at all anymore, because we know how to handle it if we get it in the herd.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's something that people notice right away. It's not
right.
that uncommon to see cattle with, like, itchy, nasty
right.
skin in Africa, but here it's unusual.
Okay, so are you working with herds in Africa, or just having them collect data for you?
Well,
or samples?
Yeah, so I go out there and do some of the work with them, and then they do research while I'm not there. But the idea is that for some of these infectious diseases, we want to control them where they're occurring so that they never get the chance to come into the U.S.
Yeah, we certainly don't want mange to become a major problem back here like it was, you know, 40, 50 years ago in certain parts of the U.S. anyway. That's actually one of the cool things as you think about working on the vet side, is especially in different parts of the world. You see the history of the diseases we've experienced long before we were born, or
right.
You were born anyway. So, anyway, other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Do you guys have a vaccination for mange disease?
For mange?
Yeah.
Mange. No.
Are you guys working on one?
Nope. Because it's not usually a big problem in the U.S., so it's a treatment usually. So there are anti-parasitic drugs that you can treat with. Okay. And I have to say, I don't do that much actual treatment of animals. I treat sort of populations. So if you really want to know the answers to these questions, I recommend talking to the vets who are over in the actual College of Veterinary Medicine booth.
Well, and as you said, that's not a big issue with the large dollar herds that we have here in the U.S. or in Europe, and it's also, I mean, mange, for instance, is pretty darn treatable.
Yeah, so that one you treat it, and it's usually only a few animals in a herd. So what we do here to kind of keep it out of herds is you do control. So you isolate new animals coming in, you treat sick animals, and it's just excluded from a lot of those herds because they're...
I thought I heard somebody else say they had a question, you know. You were the lucky one. You get here, so we'll take any vet questions.
Don't give me any vet questions.
Anyway, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you talked about mange in Africa on the cattle. What about, like, around here in Ohio?
What are some diseases in Ohio?
Yeah, I just got
So I think probably in cattle, one of the most frequent ones we see is, like, mastitis. So that's mostly dairy cattle. You can ask again. You can ask the vets who are actually in clinical practice a little more. But mastitis is probably one of the most common things you see in cattle in Ohio.
And I would encourage you guys, if you haven't had a chance to, the truck that's sitting over here beside the vet med tent, that comes out of the Marysville clinic that OSU operates. And it's not only their rapid response truck, I guess we'll call it, but we also have a number of the vets who work out of that clinic, and they're out on farms every day, as well as then tying back their ideas to people like Rebecca who need to do research on some of these issues that we see. I think with that, we're going to take a pause. I'm looking here at my clock. I'm looking around, and Mike is still in traffic, so we'll just take a pause, and then it looks like we'll start here a little early, but in a few minutes or so, I'll have Mo come back up, and since he's been rescued from traffic, we'll get Mo up here, and we'll talk a little bit about bird flu, some of what's going on in the poultry world, and the effect it has on egg production also. I got a question for you. No, that's actually not the right question.
We need to say right question.
I can sign it. Ah, grammar lesson for the day. Oh, gee. I got a pencil right here. Where?
So you can just put initial
right here. Right here.
Second one.
Whoever that was. Gee, you know, I usually charge for autographs. And now, I'm doing this only because you all promised that you would pay attention to more of these throughout the day. What school are y'all from? Miami Valley which?
CTC.
Okay. What program are you? I thought maybe that was the case. I should make you go over to the tent and let the vet sign.
We already had them sign it.
Oh. I don't know if I saw you there. I just had to pull that on somebody. You happen to be the unfortunate one.
Thank you.
Sure. 10:20. Let's see. Rebecca. Yes. Yeah, I would suggest at this point you probably need to just talk to her because you're not scheduled to get in for the rest of the day, right? For that one. No, we've got a few other, obviously got a lot of other topics, but on that particular and the work she's doing, you might even talk to Rebecca a little bit about some of what she's doing. We touched on the work in Africa, which, yeah, if I'd have known, we might have done a little bit more with that. I just didn't think they ask ahead of time. Well, actually, this crew does. It's a unique career opportunity they don't think about. So anyway, go pick her brain. It's a big brain. So all right, what's that?